This is a great example out of the Court of Criminal Appeals, Milton versus State, an opinion by Judge Newell. And this case dealt with prejudicial punishment evidence that was admitted during the closing of the punishment phase, involving a video of a tiger trying to get through a window to eat a child to make the point that the defendant was going to be a future danger if he was not in prison. And so the court here included snapshots from the video in its opinion, and also created for the first time its social or its media page where the video was posted.
But advocates can use these things too, just like the courts, right? And they do. And the excerpts that we're going to show you here and that are also in the paper, advocates are making effective use of using photos and screenshots from videos in their briefs. So in this case, this is in the statement of facts. The state used photos from the trial exhibits. The issue in the case was the defendant was posing as a gang member. Maybe he wasn't necessarily a gang member, but he was posing as such. Was that evidence admissible at the punishment phase of trial? Well, the photos, the trial exhibits, show much more vividly what did that posing consist of. And so that's just one way to very quickly show the court what are we talking about.
And I think that's one of the first times we use pictures in a brief, and that it made the point perfectly more than anything that you could have written. This is a pending case, and mostly all of our examples are out of current briefs that we filed or either noticed that we've, of course, been reading. This is from a case out of Harris County from the public defender's office, and the public defender used these videos, and this involves whether a consensual encounter turned into an investigative detention. And key and central to their argument is about the officer touching and the proximity and the hand gesturing that the officer was using. And so they took snapshots, which probably screenshots from the video, and inserted them into the brief, which made it very helpful in seeing how they were trying to press that point to the court instead of the court having to then sort of forget about it and then go find a video. Another good way to use either screenshots or other things are when you're tracing a statute, the history of a statute, where effective dates are really important, and you want to have it there. As the appellate mind, we are very hardwired to want to go see something for ourselves and want to go and pull it from a book. And sometimes it's beneficial to just take it from either, you know, a historical statute and do a screenshot and plug it in your brief, and that way the court doesn't have to resort and go look for itself, and it's fully there with the effective dates. Text messages are another great example. I know this one isn't showing up very well, but we used this in a case where it was central to the case, and it was really about what the text messages said. And so putting them in as they appeared, I mean, it meant that there's no argument about it not being complete in the way that it was portrayed by the state or the order in which the conversation went. So it avoids any kind of wrong interpretation, and you're taking it at face value.
And charts can also save the court's time. You can use them to put the essence of really complicated indictments, separating out what are the differences in the counts. That can save the court time. Also, taking demonstrative exhibits from the trial, sticking them in your brief, especially for complex white-collar cases. If you find yourself like making a chart to figure out what are the relationships, where did the money go from one place to another, you know, create a diagram for yourself, put it in the brief for the court's sake. Comparing testimony, highlighting any difference or similarity can be done very effectively through a chart. Whether you're comparing different parts of testimony, whether you're taking a statute, laying out the statutory language as compared to what's in the jury charge, you can also use this kind of chart for showing elements of two different offenses to show whether does something really going to be a greater and then a lesser offense or not. Speedy trial claims are another good use of a chart, right? You got all of the important details and information all in one place for the court. What's the reason for the delay? What are the dates that we're talking about? You could even add color to show which party the delay might be attributed to.
Another good way to use charts and graphs when you're distilling a lot of comprehensive data for a court, and this was legislative data that could be judicially recognized. And in this case, I was pointing to the state's biennium budget, which we know is thousands and thousands of pages, but I was using portions of that budget that were dedicated towards criminal justice costs. And so I created an appendix of those costs for the court so they would not have to refer to the entire statewide budget. So very often, the word processing programs that we use are really limited on what you can and can't do as far as graphs and charts and everything. So one thing that you can resort to is PowerPoint and use that. And it has lots of very potential ideas for you to sort of plug and play. They're really easy to populate. They come in color, so it kind of adds something to your brief outside of the black and white. And you can always create it and either copy and paste it in your document, or if you still use WordPerfect like I do, you can always take a screenshot of it and then put it into your brief as well. That kind of just makes it stand out all the more. So don't think that you're just limited to word processing program things.